Fatherhood's hard, dude. You need something to keep you cool. Oh, now fatherhood's hard, dude. You need something to keep you cool. Better listen now, cause the Owens brothers got something for you. I'll tell you what it is. Well, we usually record now, just about 11 o'clock. Oh, we usually record now, just about 11 o'clock. Sometimes it takes a beer or two to get us in the mood. We got three funny nerds, real cool guests, great topics and music too. Dudes, babe, listen on your iPhone. We're your podcast dudes, baby. Listen on your iPhone 5. Yeah, listen to us one time. We'll be your regular style. Called subscribe. We got three funny nerds. Good guests too. Real topics and music to on your iPhone. Maybe listen on your iPhone 5. I'm your podcast man. Maybe listen on your iPhone 5. All my episodes are guaranteed to satisfy.
Hello and welcome to Engineering Fatherhood with Matt,
Mark in the middle,
and here's John.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Engineering Fatherhood. We are real brothers here to talk about real problems. We're real fathers. And welcome to episode number 41. We hope you'll have fun spending an hour with us.
And we're real opinionated.
It is, Matt. It's the political extravaganza.
Of course.
I'm going to let my brothers off the leash tonight. John didn't like the leash comment, but I think it's appropriate. Anyway, we have that to come, but we couldn't do our quick roundup. What do you say, guys? It's middle of March already. How are your lives going?
My life is going well. My wife celebrated her 31st birthday, and we got a babysitter and went out boozing and had a good time.
How come it said number 25 on her cake?
I thought that too, John, and I was like, no, wait, what?
Yeah, I know, I was doing some bad.
You were going to give me you were going to drive over here and give me a high five.
I was thinking that.
No, we didn't have a 3 and a 1 in our little candle bin, and we thought it'd be funny to just put 25 on there.
Nice. Right. Like Mom. Your mom was 29 till she was, like, collecting Social Security, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I think she's still 29, isn't she?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of 20...
She's 39 at one point.
There's probably a lot of 29-year-olds collecting Social Security now, thanks to disability.
Good shot.
Oh, that's it. Woof, woof, woof. Off the leash.
I'm coming out of the booth.
Way to get us warmed up, man.
It's called a segue.
Nicely done.
It's too early, though.
I'll have John and myself. Yeah. Well, that's your thing, isn't it? All right, John. How you doing up there?
It's cold up here still.
It's cold here, too.
I can't believe it's the, what is it, 24th of March? Is that what it is today?
Something like that. Yeah.
You know, we still have trouble getting into the high 30s, and my yard is still covered with snow.
Hey, Mark, he can't get a calendar in his basement either.
The bunker is not as well fortified as I would like, but there is a gun safe.
He keeps it low tech so that if there's ever like a, you know, zombie apocalypse, he doesn't have someone he thinks to fix.
That's right.
You think he could have a paper counter, though?
There's plenty of ramen noodle soups.
That's right.
And if you make them up just right, they look like brains. You feed them to the zombies.
That's right.
Yep.
What else is going on up there, John?
Not much. Same stuff, different day. I really can't say that a whole lot's going on. The ceiling project is finished completely.
That's good. Good to hear.
Yes, that was quite a project. It was unpleasant.
You still picking paint out of your hair?
No, but I found another paint spot on the carpet. That made me upset. But yeah, no, we started at the 22-foot peak and worked our way down to the hot water baseboard radiators and painted them too. Everything is fresh, clean, and new.
John, one of the worst things you can do when your wife gets you to do one of those home projects is do a really good job. I'm telling you, a couple of paint stains and you got more chance of paying somebody to do it next time.
Well, it's a challenge. It's a challenge. But we got her done, so we're all set.
Great
I
work.
Got a new development with my car, though, that's a little kind of spoke perplexed.
Uh-oh.
My company car is experiencing random trunk openings.
That's inconvenient.
You, or possibly it's trying to let some fresh air in.
You're saying I need a stick up?
Stick up.
Wow. You need a stick down your pants. Anyway, sorry about that. Did I say that out loud? No, darn.
Yeah. That's okay. No.
So your high-tech American-made Cadillac is having glitch problems?
Yes.
Say it isn't so.
Oh, yes, it is.
I heard it's the Cadillac of cars.
Yeah, it is, as a matter of fact. And it's got a lot of fresh air in it.
Yeah. Random trunk openings. That's cool. Yeah,
that's.
Well, it's not really. Because, you know, I always worry when I go out in the morning and the trunk has been open for God knows how long during the night. What John. Animal crawled in there to sleep in there?
No, because it's opening when you get in. It opened over the middle of the night.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it opened while you were driving. I was going to say you could turn it to your advantage and perhaps, you know, you could take the son-in-law for a ride. Or maybe the cats. You driving along. Why are you driving 80 miles an hour? I'm hoping the trunk opens.
Yeah, no, it just hasn't opened while I'm driving yet. It's just while it's parked, I come back to it and the trunk's open.
Maybe
it's cold in here.
Somebody's garage door opener. I guess if you had neighbors, that might be a possibility.
But. That's true, but since, you know, we only have horses as neighbors in the cemetery, yeah. I guess that's not part of the problem.
Oh, that's even scarier.
Nice. It's an ecto-sync signal. They are. They're sampling this. They're sounding the start of the zombie apocalypse.
Well, tell them not to come to my house.
The cemetery.
I'm hoping to get a small bonus this month, and I'm hoping to support Remington Arms with it.
Excellent.
Cool. Also, segueing
as well. Wow. Now, you guys are setting the bar high.
Ka-chow.
Let's see. Down in Richmond, we've started smoking marijuana. No, I'm just kidding. Now we're on welfare.
Yes. I hurt my back, so.
Okay.
Zachary's getting married.
Did you know?
Charlie.
What? Did you say Zachary's getting married?
I was kidding. I was making a joke. I was going to make a gay marriage joke, but it didn't make
it. Wow.
Wow, harsh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Did I ever tell the story about the bumper sticker I saw that said, I'm proud of my gay son? And I always wondered if that mother had more than one son.
How do you know it was a mother or a father?
Right.
Hmm?
How do you know it was not a father that was put the bumper sticker on?
I guess I don't know. Jeez.
Okay, here in Richmond, we have snow, John, believe it or not.
You guys are getting nasty weather, aren't you?
Yeah, we got like 3 inches out there.
I'm so happy to hear that.
The schools are already closed for tomorrow.
Oh,
for the week. Second school closes, you think my kids would be ready to go out and play, which they did go out and play. They both think, sleepover! I got the my Alex is sleeping over the neighbor, and I had to. Of course, the schools were closed, so because the roads were bad. But the roads weren't so bad that I couldn't drive over and get Molly's friend and bring her over here so she could have a sleepover. So we lost one and gained one tonight, so we have a still have three.
Huh. Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
So you'll have giggling up late tonight.
Yeah, they're not bad. They're afraid of me. That's what I like. So, other than that, things are going great here. We have our big spring break trip next week. I guess the week after this one. And we're going down to Hilton Head for a week.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Looking forward to that. Good job. Nice, quiet weekend. It's been a good time.
Must be nice to be the 1%.
Yeah. I wanted to throw in real quick that I got a text from Pete Loomis, who is in Disney, and he saw a T-shirt that he thought we would think was funny. And it said, "Do these protons make my mass look big?" Which I thought was our kind of joke. So I don't know if you had heard that one, but I hadn't. So it made me laugh.
Was it on a woman?
I don't know. You would think it would be like, man, she's got some big...
That'd be the protons. Hottest woman ever.
Boy, she's got some protons. I like that.
But it makes her mask look big.
Did you hear about the neutron that walked up to the bartender, and he said, "I'd like a drink." And the bartender said, "For you, no charge."
Oh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there you go. So this is our big political episode.
Extravaganza.
Right. And, I believe it or not, as a nerd, I actually made a chart and a list of episodes. We were going to make this kind of like a lightning round. We're hoping to get through it all, but if it takes two episodes, then what the heck? Nobody's listening anyway, right? So here we go.
Bounce off of each topic. We were going to do a minute, limit each person to a minute.
Right, this is debate style, family town hall style.
So I think we're going to agree a lot more than disagree.
So how about we pick each person... So somebody will take control, and the other two people will have rebuttals. So one person, because our opinions are likely to be fairly similar.
Okay.
How's that? I'll air traffic control because I got the chart. Okay.
Okay, but now you're going to pit Matt and I against each other, and we are.
You think you're apart?
I think we're parallel.
Okay, so I'm going to say 1 minute for the original topic and 30 seconds for each rebuttal.
Okay.
Well, they might not be rebuttals. They might just be our piece.
Supportings.
Supportings are right. Or an extra point or a corollary, that kind of thing. Okay. So the first topic is you, John. Because my chart goes John, Mark, Matt. I must have been going in order of birth. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the first topic is gun control. I was obviously thinking of you. That might be why I put you first in that conversation.
Okay. Well, I live in New York State.
60 seconds for the gentleman from New York. Sorry, set, go.
And they just passed the gun safe law, whatever the hell the safe law is. They're essentially going to make me a felon because I have 10-round magazines for my Smith & Wesson 40 caliber semi-automatic handgun. And they passed a law that would only allow 7-round magazines, which is stupid because the industry doesn't make a 7-round magazine. The industry has fought this. As a matter of fact, when they originally passed the law, now this gun control goes so many ways. To do it in a minute kills me. They're trying to do gun control through ammunition control and other means, but it's really stupid. The ammunition control, the law originally didn't contain a waiver for police officers. So they were originally subject to the law. They since have passed a waiver of that, and they're working on one for Hollywood, so Hollywood can still have guns in their gun movies filming in New York State, but people, citizens of New York can't own them. Then they want to amend the law. You want to see how ridiculous this is, so that you can have a 10-round magazine and not be a felon, but you can't have more than 7 bullets in it. So I ask you, what politician really thinks that a criminal is going to restrict themselves to 7 bullets in a 10-round magazine? And why would you want to put that kind of problem for your citizens? where if they have 8 rounds in the magazine, they're now in violation of a random law, like how many rounds you can have in the magazine of your firearm. Colossally stupid laws regarding gun control. There are smart modifications to our laws that can be made that will improve some of the exposures that are concerns about gun and gun proliferation in America today. But by and large, the government is the biggest source that we fear. And, you know, it's the when the government doesn't want the citizens to own guns, you have to ask yourself the question, what's the government's objective? Did I go over a minute?
2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Really? Oh,
yes.
Oh, you guys should have stopped me.
I did like a little noise, like a ding, 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 or something like that.
I cleared my throat.
I didn't feel that that was Long John.
Okay.
I didn't feel that was Long John Silver. What? I'm up next.
Oh, that's right, Mark. Mark is next.
I got a set order here or whatever.
Yeah, you're right.
It was really hard not to interrupt you, not because I disagreed with anything you said, but that there were jokes I could have made. like, can a policeman really ask a guy how many bullets are in his magazine? I mean, he's holding a gun, so you know, I don't know that I would ask. I feel about gun control the same way I feel about abortion. Morally, I am very much against guns. I'm very much against abortion, but I don't feel that the law is capable of controlling it. It's just there's no way they can organize laws that really help that much. And they just cause people heartache and time, and they're politicians that want to appear to be solving the problem that is a larger moral issue in the country than guns. People are always going to own guns. Bad guys are going to own guns. We need to do is make less bad guys, and that's how I feel. The laws are all dumb.
I like that. Make less bad guys.
What do you say, Matt?
I have to disagree that guns are immoral. They're just an inanimate object. But I have to agree with both of you pretty much on everything else. The one thing that I've been reading about lately that I kind of agree with is this country was not founded on safety. It was founded on liberty. Anybody wants to own a gun, they're free to do so. As soon as they use it to commit a crime, well, we could throw their ass in jail. And that's how it's supposed to work. The other thing I wanted to just state is that I think the gun laws should be left up to the state because the Second Amendment pretty much says the federal government can't do squat on this topic. The states, however, can do what they want. And while I disagree with gun control in general, if New York State wants to basically disarm all of their people like a bunch of idiots, they're welcome to as long as they don't bother us down here in a different state. If you understand my point.
If they give it all their guns, is New Jersey going to come in and take all their and stick up New York?
Well, I mean, our country is set up so that one state can do one thing and the other state can do the other, and maybe everybody can be happy with that.
True, but they have to be careful not to violate the constitutional rights.
Well, as the way I was taught the Constitution was that relates to the federal government. And that's the way I read it, so that the federal government cannot impose gun laws. The states, however, are welcome to do so.
That's not how I read it, man. I guess I thought all the states had to abide by the Constitution as well. They all signed it.
They, yes, they did. So why would they sign something that basically took their power away?
For the greater good. They were forming a group. That's a side point.
Okay. Anyway, my point is that
I could totally be wrong.
People in Arizona should be free to vote on their own politicians at the government, at the state level, to say we don't want any gun laws. And the people up in Maryland or in New York can do differently. And that's just the way our country was set up, in my opinion. But
okay,
I do think that we should be allowed to own guns. And just like John said, the more the government says I shouldn't own one, the more I think I should go get one.
That whole thing after the school shooting, which was terrible. You know, it was like the best thing. Who would have thought it would be such a good thing for gun manufacturers? Mm. That was just a totally ass backwards thing. I can't even.
Yeah, the irony of it all.
It's very ironic. Yes, it's a few things are truly ironic like that is.
Yeah.
You guys ready for the next one?
They thought the NRA was going to be hurt, and it actually swelled in numbers.
Yes, it's an awful, awful, awful thing. Honestly, I wish everybody would throw their guns in the Atlantic. I don't think they're immoral. I just don't want one, I guess. Abortion, I do think, is immoral.
And that's fine.
As a matter of a survey point, I take it you're not a member of the NRA?
No.
And Matt?
I am.
Ka-ching.
Are you card-carrying?
No, I'm not. I joined it a while ago when we took that shooting class. I don't give them money anymore, but they still say I'm a member.
Yeah, okay. They want to count you in their caucus.
That's right.
Okay, you guys ready for the next one?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay, death penalty and crime in general.
Well.
I guess I'm first this time.
Okay.
And I had not prepared anything, obviously. I am pro-death penalty. I was a little concerned a few years back when they kind of developed the DNA testing methodology and they found that they had improperly detained and executed a few people. But by and large, I think the system is good to make sure that it's a very, very small chance that that can happen. And I'm definitely believe that there are people in the world that cannot be rehabilitated and the penalty should be death. I don't necessarily believe it really limits other crime that much. It probably has some impact, but not that much. And that's it. I'm pro-death penalty.
I wouldn't have expected that.
Interesting.
You're up next, Matt. Oh, I am. Let me reset my timer.
I was under my time, wasn't I?
Yes, you were. That's the second time you were. I'm torn on this one, to be honest. I used to be very pro-death penalty, and now I'm kind of at a crossroads on this one. I kind of get nervous at the power of the state a lot more now that I've gotten older, and with that fear, I fear that the government can just start killing people. And that makes me nervous. But on the other hand, a guy who goes around and rapes and kills a bunch of kids, I would like to personally blow the brains off. So, I don't really know what to think, to be honest. I could argue either direction. And that's it.
Well, I'm going to come out and say that I, too, am pro-death penalty. I actually would support public hangings. As brutal and horrible as that may sound, I would not certainly require attendance of anybody, but I do think that there are individuals who perpetrate such heinous acts against other innocent members of our society that they cannot be allowed to remain as members of our society. And I think the incarceration program has failed in that regard. It has only served to swell and educate criminals, and I really don't think that's a good plan for society. So somebody who perpetrates a crime as horrible as the Newtown massacre, should they have survived the incident, I think that society would have no alternative but to execute that individual for the crimes that they have committed against our society.
On a similar note, I definitely disagree with the government using drones to kill people, citizens, without any due process.
That's not really on the table. I mean, that's, you know, to me, the death penalty is, right, it's with, you know, it's trial by jury and right. With the appeal process, you know, it takes a long time. And then even states like Texas and honestly Virginia, they don't execute a lot of people.
Right.
Right.
So it's not something we do often.
I'm not saying we should start,
you know, electrifying people left and right. And drones they're not on the table as far as I'm concerned.
Well, the scary thing is that they actually are. But yes. So anyway.
Okay. Look at that. We're 2-1, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting there.
All right, Matt. You get to go first on this one. This is the child support adoption family issue.
Well, there's two different topics there, really. Like we talked about in the pre-show, the whole American adoption system is just terrible because it just pushes people to adopt people from different countries because they don't want to raise a child and then have them taken away. So all this does is hurt American kids. So it seems like there needs to be some change in that system. The one thing that's in this topic that really bugs me is the fact that when there is a divorce, it's just assumed that the woman gets the kids and they get all the money from the divorce. Now, I know this doesn't happen all the time, but for the most part, the kids go with the mother. And we talk about equality all we want, but when it comes to this whole setup, it doesn't seem to be equal. And that's my piece. That's it.
Okay.
I'm next on that. You know, that child support isn't just from the father of the children. That's a form. Child support also comes in the form of subsidies from the government. And, you know, just for example, you know, recently a client of one of our insurance companies, auto insurance. You know, when you have your auto insurance, they ask you how many people live in the household.
Mm-hmm.
We had a case where this particular woman, and this is a little extreme as an example, but that's to make the point. I think you'll get it here. She had to disclose to us that she had a 14-year-old son who would be driving soon because, you know, we keep track. It's a 3-year required policy period in your state. We want to know when they turn age of 16, age of licensure, and be able to put them on the policy so we know who's operating the vehicles in that household. But we also request the ages of other residents of the household. And this particular woman, who was 31 years old, had 8 children, age range from 14 to 8 months old. And she was unmarried and a single mom.
Hmm.
And I have to say, from the standpoint of child support, she must be receiving support, whether it's from the fathers of the children or from the federal government. And I really don't think...
How much of your statement is conjecture versus what you knew, John?
I know
you
that
know there were multiple fathers.
I know there were multiple fathers. I know that there were multiple fathers, and I know that she was receiving support from the government.
Okay.
So that said, the point of the story was not her specific instance, but there are so many instances where the government is supporting the women who are having the children. And the fathers may or may not be, but because of the way that the support system and the welfare programs are designed, the society is providing an awful lot of support and almost to the point where it encourages women, or certainly doesn't discourage them, from having multiple children and receiving some benefit from that, which they didn't earn. And I don't agree with it.
Okay. I wrote the list, and I hadn't anticipated that interpretation of the child support thing.
Ka-chow.
But, ka-chow. You know, there was a time when I thought that if a woman had a child or whatever and she wanted to get child support, that, you know, part of the receiving of that support should be a, you know, a sterilization or whatever, and that's really harsh. And I don't know that I truly feel that way anymore or not, but like I said, I didn't anticipate this topic coming up or not. But I do think we need to do something about that, John. I'm just not sure what it is. I put this topic on here mainly for the adoption issue that Matt already brought up. It's obvious that our laws are very supportive of the parental rights. And I think that we, although that is laudable in certain ways, that we've gone too far in that regard, and that's the cause of these things. You know, we want never to split up families, but the truth is, I hate to say it, there's times when we got to split up families because, you know, they're not working. Right. So when you put a child up for adoption, I agree with Matt, it has to be one way.
Well,
you know?
Not only that, but adoption is a voluntary act.
Right. It's, nobody's forcing you to do it. Right.
And you sign it, and that's it.
Right.
I think adoption is a noble cause because I think, well, we'll talk about it later, but adoption is a moral thing to do, but you got to know what you're getting into.
Yeah, and I put child support on there, John. I was talking about deadbeat dads, really.
Sorry.
And that whole sort of thing about, you know, making the true parents pay as much of the cost of raising the child as possible. That's where I was going with that.
Well, de facto, that's my argument, because what ends up happening is they end up receiving welfare benefits because maybe the father doesn't support the child, but by the same token, the mother doesn't make good decisions in order to improve her situation in every case. And again, there's a whole spectrum of cases. There are cases when the welfare support is appropriate and much needed and appreciated. But I honestly believe the abuse is rampant to the point where we need to scrap it.
And the other issue here is if it's not a good environment, you know, we have all these laws, like I said, about parental rights, such that it's very difficult to take a child away and put it in a more better environment. And I think it's going to sound awful, but I think we need to do more of that. And I don't think we have good places to put these children, but I think we need to solve that too, as far as better foster care programs. But I think we need to have better foster care programs. And I think there's some of these houses that we need to take the kids away more often, and that's hard. But that's it. I think we in this government we put too much emphasis on parental rights. If you're there's a child at stake, so the child has rights too, in my mind. If the child wants to be adopted, or if it's best interest of the child to be adopted, you know, you got to let it happen. And what we're doing is making kids in other countries quite happy by bringing them here. But yeah, really, that's not solving things. Okay, I went over my time.
You did.
So this next one is John starting. Matt, can you hear my typing? Because I was actually trying to keep track.
No.
Oh, okay. Then I will keep typing.
I wasn't listening to you anyway.
Okay. The next topic was, should I send some sort of noise when I'm done so you can start listening, like ding, over. Next topic, John, is immigration.
Immigration. we're a country of immigrants. I think that it's wonderful that this country is as open as it is, but I really do think that we have two forms of immigration. We have legal immigration and we have illegal immigration. And, of course, I do not support illegal immigration. If we need to modify our laws so that we can do a better job of processing people who wish to come to this country legally, then we need to do that. But allowing people to come to this country illegally and then absolving them of that illegal act is bad law application, and I really think that states like Arizona should have the right. I'm actually shocked, and I always have been, that I get to go vote for the president of the United States, and I don't have to show ID. You know, I understand that's a nice freedom, but then anybody can claim to be anybody and vote. And how do you know that your voter rolls are accurate and that there isn't voter fraud taking place, allowing the election of somebody who might not be the actual elected president? And we do know through the George Bush elections that you know, the voting counts, and it gets close. And you know, if there's voter fraud able to take place, then that's actually a bad thing for us as a country.
I agree with pretty much everything you said there, John. I agree we should just make a better path towards legal immigration, and to just give blanket amnesty to everybody that's here just basically says to everybody else that, go ahead, break our laws, we'll forgive you. You know, it's like negotiating with terrorists.
Yeah.
They're just going to do it. It's just going to happen again and again and again. And we're going to go down this road every time. So just change the laws, let more people in legally, make them pay their taxes and all that other jazz, and we'll know they can be on the voter, you know, whatever. But to just let people run over the border haphazardly and then forgive them when they're caught, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's how I feel. The other funny thing is that if we do give them amnesty and make them pay their taxes, well, they're going to lose their job, because the only reason they have their jobs is because they get paid so little, because they don't have to pay taxes. So if you think it's a messy situation, but basically amnesty is the bad idea, legal path towards citizenship.
Okay, I agree. But I think the only difference I have is that I think we should let a lot more people in. You know, I know there's concerns about, you know, schools and healthcare facilities and all of the resources that these people will take up. But, you know, we need them. I truly believe we need them. This country is built on that, and we, you know, we keep having our standard of living go up, and then moving people in on the bottom that are in from immigration. If we stop immigration, you know, we're going to be a family of rich people who can't get anybody to work in a fast food joint.
I agree.
It's not going to work. I think that you should take all, and I agree, the illegal immigrants, we can't do amnesty, but they should be able to put themselves on the list for legal immigration such that they can slowly be legally, entering the country. Maybe they got to go back to their country first or whatever. But I don't understand what purpose we have in limiting it at all. You know, I guess there must be some theoretical maximum of how many people we could take at once, but still. It should be pretty high.
Well, this all rolls into the government programs and whatnot.
Here, here.
The entitlement society. If we didn't have so many entitlements, well then, yeah, sure, come on in.
Yeah, and we don't have a job, so they start out, they're already under the poverty level, which means as, you know, immigrant citizens, now they're eligible for a whole host of social programs that are funded by not enough funders.
I completely and utterly disagree. I do not think these people come here.
They came here because of the entitlements.
Here. They don't come here for the entitlements. They come here to work.
Right? I agree that with you there, Mark, that they don't come here for the entitlements. However, they're going to receive them.
That is true. But I do believe that they will, you know, these people will go to work. They want to work. They want to move up the chain, and that we should, you know, make the investment, and then they will be good citizens. They will pay taxes, and then the whole country. That's how our country works.
I agree with you mostly.
Okay. Next one. I start. This is the quick one. You ready? Gay marriage.
Yeah.
The question here is, why do we care? You know, there are two people, whether they're male or female. I could not care less. In fact, I agree. We talked about this in the pre-show that there should not be any legal designation to marriage at all. I mean, everybody pay taxes, and that. Why is the government involved? I don't understand. I guess there are some things about who receives benefits when you're in the hospital. You know, your spouse has certain rights for information and signing things and whatnot. I don't think a marriage has to be a man and a woman. I don't. It could be a man and a man. It could be a woman and a woman. I don't see why anybody cares. It's a clear answer to me.
I agree. I have to say, I think gay marriage is kind of weird. But like, I'm a libertarian. Do whatever you want to do. It's cool. But like Mark said, state shouldn't be involved anyway. So it's a religious sacrament. In pretty much every religion, right, has marriage, I would imagine. So why is the government involved in it at all?
It's a monetary issue, man. It has everything to do with money and benefits that Mark mentioned and rights when it comes to decisions being made on behalf of another.
That's true, but that could be handled.
But it's money. It's money, and do you guys remember the Dr. Seuss special about the critters with the stars on their bellies?
Yes, Starbelly Sneetches.
Yes, Starbelly Sneetches. This is merely we want to be accepted, and this is how we want to be accepted. We want to be accepted on your terms. Well, make your own terms, because as Matthew points out, marriage is a sacrament in many religions, and it is a sacrament that's recognized as being between a man and a woman. And you know, while there may be nothing wrong with the legal application of a gay union, it doesn't have to be a religious marriage, and it shouldn't necessarily be a religious marriage. The freedom of religion part of our country should allow the religious institutions to determine whether or not they want it to be one man and one woman or not, and should have every right to recognize how they want it to be. However, the government, since they're free of religion, should have the ability to recognize unions, whether they're gay or not. All that said, on a side note, I used to be dead set against gay marriage. I thought it was a stupid thing. I'm not a pro-gay lesbian bi. And by the way, I got a chuckle out of that because, you know, it went from gay and lesbian to bi. And I don't know how the bi managed to hook on to the gay and lesbian thing, because I think that's a whole separate issue in and of itself.
I don't understand how the bi thing can work. So, I mean, because to me, bi means you're going to switch.
It's bi and transgender, too. Them, too. They're hooked in with the gay and the lesbian. What, they were law of large numbers. They were trying to get some
bisexual doesn't make sense to me either. I mean, once you marry somebody, it's got to be only one person. We do have that law, right?
Well,
so that person is only one gender, so therefore you're no longer bi.
That was the thing that when this all started up, you know, it made me think of the Mormons. Originally they used to have multiple wives. Why is that illegal?
Right. Right.
The state shouldn't be involved with that at all.
You're correct.
If you're going to say gays can get married, then you should be able to be able to marry as many as you want.
Now,
I don't think there's anything in the Christian Bible that says you can't be married to more than one person, is there? The Old Testament's full of that.
Old Testament is, but New Testament, I think, does.
I think there is something in the
New Testament that talks about one man and one woman.
You can find something in the Bible for
Sure. So here's an interesting spin on this I want to share with you, because this is kind of funny. I had this little epiphany not too long ago about gay marriage, and whether it's men or women, I don't care. That's their business. But I thought to myself, you know, we got this overpopulation problem on the planet, and what better way to work on resolving that than letting people who can't reproduce get married and try not to reproduce, but they can't?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll match them up with our adoption issue, and then we can get some of these kids out of these bad homes and into good gay or lesbian or bi. I still don't know how that works.
Oh, the transgender's
point. Again, it's not the government's business, and I don't care.
Right.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Look at that. We are agreeing more than we thought we would.
I told you we would. Okay, we start at 10:05, so we're 40 minutes in. Maybe we'll try one more.
All right, we'll see.
Okay, the next one is foreign policy, and I think you go. Who went first last time?
You did.
You had gay marriage.
Okay, then Matt, you're up for foreign policy.
I have changed my opinion on this in the last 5 years. I basically think we should get out of other countries' foreign affairs. I don't know what I really don't know what we're doing in the Middle East anymore. I don't know why we have bases all over the world when our military can get anywhere it needs to in about a day. Why do we have a base in Japan? Why do we have a base in Korea? I don't really know. So that's basically where I am. The whole...
What about aid to other countries, man?
Well, you know how I feel about that.
I do. I'm just... prompting.
I don't see how we can be giving money to other countries when we're broke. You know, if we're flush with cash for some reason and we want to start doling it out, we can discuss it then. But we're broke. We don't have any money. We're in super debt. Why are we giving money to Egypt? That doesn't make any sense. Why do we have bases in Germany? I mean, is war going to break out in Germany again? I don't think so.
I can answer that one, but I'll wait for my rebuttal.
Anyway, we have the best Navy in the world that can get our troops anywhere. We have the best Air Force in the world. And basically, we could blow up any country at the snap of our fingers if we wanted to. So why do we have to have bases all over the world? I just don't know.
Okay.
John?
Well, I'm a little more supportive of foreign policy than Matthew, but I am in full-fledged agreement with his position on our charitable contributions to countries around the world, and you can call it what you want, humanitarian aid, support. We don't have it, and if you don't have it, you really can't spend it, and yet somehow we manage to on our children's and our children's pocketbooks, which just seems so wrong. Other countries have obligations of their own, and they need to try and meet them, and... we can certainly have a foreign policy, and I don't even mind having bases in different places throughout the world as in areas where we have solid relationships, but I don't think we can be a friend to everybody, and I don't think we need to try to be a friend to everybody. There's a certain amount of live and let live that has to take place.
Exactly.
Whether or not we like the way another country treats its people shouldn't be our priority. We have so much to worry about here at home that we need to look closer to our own than we do to the rest of the world.
What about concern over North Korea and other countries developing nuclear weapons?
Well, you know, that's a funny thing. I firmly believe that there's a phrase that to the victor go the spoils. And yet, in my lifetime, that hasn't been the case. Every time the United States has been involved in a conflict, or more plainly put, gone to war, we merely spend money, expend lives, and then walk away with nothing for our labors. And I do not comprehend how that's good foreign policy. I think that if you've got a problem with a country and they're not, you need to go in militarily, then you can win military. And I'm sorry, but you take over and you get the resources of that area. And
do you think Germany should be the 52nd state?
We didn't take over Germany. Well, oh, back half. In 42. Oh, yeah, okay. Half.
Or,
okay.
Or Japan, for that matter.
Maybe.
That one clearly was us.
Yes, it was. should it be?
We went in with a bang, so to speak.
I know, but then we didn't want to go in after we went with the bang because nobody wanted to be in that hot spot.
They didn't have any money, and they didn't have anything. It was nothing anybody wanted.
There was a lot of fallout in the area, and we didn't want to go there. But I'm talking more recently. You've got Korea, you've got Vietnam, you've got we could talk about the Falkland Islands. There's a couple of other conflicts that I don't remember the names of that we could talk about. And then you can go back to Iraq and say, you know, how many and Afghanistan. You know, Russia spent 20 years in this Afghanistan and just spent a boatload of money. And now we've been in there for 10 years spending money hand over fist in American lives. And quite honestly, I'm not sure what we're supporting. If that's the case, then you need to go in and, sorry, if you're going to go in militarily, you have to take over.
I agree. So let's see. I'm gonna take over and do my rebut. I also agree that the giving money for foreign policy doesn't make a lot of sense. It seems to happen automatically. It doesn't seem like there's much appreciation for it. I am not against certain times when there is some sort of an incident, like was there something in Haiti, earthquake in Haiti, or you know some sort of event. You know what I'm saying? That's a one-time thing that maybe gets voted through Congress and it's public. You know, I'm not against charitable donations of that type, but now it seems like pretty much every country's on the dole list, and there's no thanks, there's no nothing really for it, and I don't really understand why we do that. As far as bases everywhere, I agree. I completely disagree, man. I think we need to have bases everywhere. I think that is how we project power, and that increases our response time to any given place. There are many places that you cannot get an aircraft carrier somewhere instantaneously. You know, you had a problem in, let's say, the Baltic Sea, you know, and you don't have a base in Germany, it's going to take 2 days to get the aircraft carrier there. And if you don't have anywhere to land, then you can't project power there. And we're also a part of NATO, and we have certain obligations as part of that. So I guess I'm with John that I'm okay with bases everywhere. I believe that we need to have a strong military. And I think we need to spend more money on that. I know that we're all about not spending as much money, but of the places our money goes, the military is one I do not bemoan at all.
I agree with you there.
So the last one was the taking over other countries. I mean, you know, we have never been a colonial power, like, you know, mm-hmm. England and whatnot. I guess Hawaii and Alaska were really the last of that breed. We did get bases in the Philippines and in Japan out of that deal, but I'm not sure there were really any spoils to take, John. I'm not sure, you know, what we would have. We could have taken the territory, I guess, and that, you know, Japan would be a state or something. I'm not sure how that would work or what benefit we would have got, because basically once they were done, they didn't have anything. They spent it all fighting us off. So there you go. That's my opinion on foreign policy. And as far as the Middle East, I agree. When there was a brief period when we thought, oh, weapons of mass destruction, and that, I kind of felt at the time that that didn't feel right. And at least it was a pretty good reason. But then, of course, we went there and found out that that was total BS. So, yes, I think we wasted a lot of time there. We you know, that our goals are noble, you know, to make those countries democratic, but the second we leave, that's going to fall apart. I really don't think that that part of the country is, that part of the globe is ready for, you know, they're not ready to move on, I don't think. And I'm sorry to say for that, but that's my opinion there.
Okay.
You want to tackle another one or not, Matt? What's our time at?
Our time is 49 minutes. We got time for one or two more, I would say. That was a tough one.
Can I cherry pick a different one?
You can.
Okay, who's up next? So, John, you're up next?
I don't know.
Let's skip education, and then the next two on the list might be quick ones: abortion or marijuana.
Okay, I'll be easy on abortion. You know, and you touched on this earlier, Mark, and I think I agree with you that personally, I don't believe in abortion. Although I acknowledge that there may be times when an abortion might be an appropriate course of action. However, not being a woman and not having to make that decision, I'm actually very thankful that I'm not put in that position. And I'm also very thankful that I'm not excruciatingly liberal with my sperm and forced to be involved in making that decision. All that said, it's an awful issue, and I hope never to have to face it. But I don't feel that it's an issue where the government should support the practice.
Break that out, John. I missed that. So you're saying that you do not feel it should be illegal, but you don't think the government should do it.
Correct.
Yes, and it shouldn't be well, I'll wait till I speak my piece.
Oh, I'm up next.
Yeah.
Okay, so you are morally against it. You don't feel it should be illegal, but you don't think that the government should pay for it.
Correct. Oh, that was good, Mark. Good synopsis.
Well, I'm also typing. I agree. I wish we could cut down on this. I really do. I have a very, very strong feeling against abortion. You know, it was an option for Kim and I when we had our third child, as you know, has Down syndrome. So, you know, there was this feeling that by the doctor that was going to be our decision. He kept rushing certain diagnoses and stuff to be before the number of weeks, I don't remember, just so that we would have options, is how he would say it. I felt that I really could have killed that guy, and I didn't like him. But I don't feel that there are any laws we could put in place that really could stop this, and that would just, you know, drive people into, or young ladies into, you know, back alleys and whatnot, and I think that's an awful solution. I also agree with John that I don't think the government should pay, but there has to be a way to make it safe, you know? If the government stays out of it completely, and that means that, you know, Walmart and is offering, you know, some, I don't know, guy in the back to do it, I don't think that's how we should do it either. So, you know, the government has to have some control, but I don't think that they should pay for it. No.
There could be nonprofit organizations who do that, preferably yes. Religious ones.
Yes, I agree. And that you know, let's say some of these religious ones that are so against abortion, at the same time, you know, it'd be better that they kind of put their morals on a shelf and did what was necessary, because it will be better in the end.
Yep.
And that's a hard decision, but that's how I feel about that.
I think I agree with most of you. Yes, I shouldn't have to pay for it, because I think it's morally wrong. But I don't think it. I personally don't think it should be illegal. This is another one of those issues where I don't think the federal government should be involved with Roe versus Wade. I think that was a bad decision. But on the other hand, I don't think it should be illegal. Yeah, I shouldn't have to pay for it myself. That goes with birth control, too. We shouldn't have to. Somebody else who is morally opposed to these things should not have to pay for someone else to get one done.
Okay, so I just want to rebut real quick there. You know, the government pays for this, I believe, because if they don't and the girl has the baby, it will likely cost us more.
But from don't a moral, think?
That's a problem with another program.
Yeah, that's a problem with another program.
But still, the net benefit to us is going to be bad.
Well, I disagree with the other benefit that they're going to get after that. But what if someone's morally opposed to birth control and abortion, regardless of how much it costs? Understand what I'm saying?
No.
My tax dollars are going to kill babies.
I don't feel good about that either.
What's that?
I don't feel good about that either.
Okay. But it may save us money.
Well, that's right. So I was flipping my coin just to let you know that you know, having the government pay for it would actually net you.
I understand
money.
That argument, but like John said, that's a problem with the other entitlement.
Right. But just to clear up my point, the core of me morally feels that it should be illegal. It should be the same penalty as murder in my mind. But I realize the impracticality of that
yes.
and what that will cause.
It is very frustrating that kids, as soon as they're born, have all the rights in the world and are protected against everything, but the minute before they're born, they could be killed and tossed in a bucket.
Nah, they're not protected against everything. Sometimes the worst parent, the worst enemy they have is their parent.
Well, that may be true, but I don't think they deserve the death penalty because they have bad parents either.
All right. What do you say, man?
We should end on marijuana.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's jump into marijuana. Dude! And then we should totally get some snacks.
What do you mean?
We should go to Taco Bell, man. We should totally do that. That makes me up.
All right.
Who starts?
Marijuana is less addictive and healthier, and there's no problems with it compared to alcohol. I think it's ridiculous that it's illegal. If people had smoked marijuana for years and, you know, since from time immemorial, like we do with alcohol, this would never be a law.
Yep.
Only because it's newer and it relates to – it's somehow got on the same list as higher drugs. It's really not a bad thing. I mean, it's no worse than – certainly cigarettes are worse.
Yes.
Right? And I'm sitting here drinking a beer. There's nothing to say I shouldn't be smoking a bowl while I'm doing this. Really.
What do you mean?
It's really not any different.
Cigarettes are worse.
Oh, cigarettes I think are much worse.
Why?
They're more lethal. If we were going to make something illegal between alcohol, cigarettes, and marijuana, which would you pick?
I'm not sure that I've ever heard the study that marijuana was less lethal as an inhaled burnt substance than
I think that cigarettes. Your average marijuana smoker doesn't smoke two packs a day of marijuana cigarettes. Is what
okay,
I'm saying.
So from a volume standpoint. Yeah,
it's a volume
thing. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Rebut that, baby. Dude, you should rebut that.
I'm with you, Mark. Once again, it should be up to the states. There should not be any federal laws against marijuana. Why did we have to have an amendment to the Constitution to ban alcohol, but we didn't need one to ban marijuana? How does that work?
Ooh, yeah.
Anyway, I think it should be legal. Yeah, that's a simple one. I don't understand, like Mark said, why is alcohol and cigarettes legal but not marijuana? And on that topic, why do you have to be 21 to drink alcohol? Because that's also just ridiculous.
Yeah, that's another one. I'm not ready.
But anyway, you want to go smoke a joint? Go ahead. There are a lot worse things you could be doing.
All right. Now,
what do you say, John?
I have to ask a question. And I don't know if you dare answer this question because you know Mom and Dad listen. Does anybody here have firsthand experience with the old... Mark?
Absolutely.
Matt?
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, well, it's nice to know that we're
all... Hey, John, I lived in Holland for 9 months.
John, did you get through that without answering the question yourself? Because I want to make sure that you're in the same pot as us.
Ha, pun intended.
Oh, good one. Well, I'll throw my dime bag into the pot.
Okay, there we go. We're all felons. I'm not saying when or where. There's probably a statute of limitations. Matt's getting out off on the technicality of being in another country.
Well, yeah.
Hey, man, I have a conference in Rotterdam next month.
You told me about that.
Well, I would definitely come out in support of legalized marijuana. I think that it's a new avenue for tax revenue that the government is for some reason foregoing. And while I don't know how you would manage... Actually, the Google car could save us from this because it would save us from driving while intoxicated and driving under the influence of marijuana. But having personally experienced a marijuana high, I can honestly say that I didn't know anything bad about it, except that, you know, I put on a couple pounds.
And there's no hangovers either.
Yeah, really.
Except for the food hangover.
Yeah.
The Taco Bell hangover.
Yeah. You eat a whole big bag of Doritos, you're going to feel that in the morning.
And I think the argument that it leads to harder drugs is a bit of a fallacy.
Yeah.
I think that if you're prone to harder drugs, you're going to go there regardless of marijuana's influence in your life. So
making it illegal makes it so you have to go to the shady.
Right.
Right.
That's what throws it into that category.
That's right.
If it's legal, it wouldn't be in the same one.
And bad pot is bad.
Just think of how much money we spend on enforcement for that.
Oh, it's God.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
All right. We did it.
We did it.
We got more than half of this list. Awesome.
Good Great job.
Work. We agreed more than I knew we would agree.
I wish I had written down my points for each one. I kind of did it cold, and I probably sound like an idiot. But
good, it was funny, man. So that's all it matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah.
Right. This is we're not making policy here.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is not Nightline or Dateline or. Okay. Moments.
Oh, moments. I gotta think about that for a second.
I got one. It was going out to the jetty with my wife and my sister-in-law and her friend. And well, we went out to dinner at a great restaurant and had a normal adult meal and had drinks. And then we went to the jetty, which, Mark, have you been there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's
many times. It's a shame. I don't know, 4 or 5 times.
It's a shady establishment. But it's on the water, and it never.
I thought it was pretty nice.
Yeah.
Maybe I run in different circles than you.
Anyway, we just had. There was a good band there, and
we took the kids there. I went there with.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember we were doing oxymorons or something.
Homonyms. Yes.
Homonyms. Right.
Anyway, we just had a. You know, it was like it was. 10 years ago, we were out of the bars.
You felt like you were 25 again?
Yes. And it felt good. It felt good.
Good.
Of course, then we got home, and Andrew woke up, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we had a great time. So, that's
good
my
work,
moment.
Matt.
Yeah.
You have a beautiful family. I saw your pictures.
Took a lot of pictures to get that one.
All right, I have one. I used it on Down Syndrome Radio, but we have few cross listeners, so it's about poop, as most of my highlights are.
Oof.
We've been having trouble with Luke and pooping. Not bad. He never goes in his pants, but I guess they've got that going. I mean, the kid is never. I can't remember the last time he messed up a pair of pants, but he just holds it forever, and he holds it to the point where it's going to be painful, and then of course he wants to keep holding it, and once he gets past the window, then we have to. Depository hammer, whatever. So no. We're trying to get off of that, right? So Kim's like, Mark, you know, you're in charge of this. He's got your parts, and you know about poop. So it's the best chance is when he's just getting out of the bathtub. So he gets out of the bathtub, put a little towel across him, you try to get him to read his book, and you can tell it's coming, right? But then he shuts it down because he knows it's going to hurt, right? Well, we had it out, him and I. And I felt like I was the most awful father ever. But I was like, dude, this thing is coming out. You're not getting off that pot till this thing comes out. And he had tears running down his cheeks. Daddy, no poopy, no poopy. And I'm like, oh, God, this doesn't work out. I'm literally going to, you know, they're going to take him away from me, you know.
Speaking
of
that.
In there for a good 20 minutes. Kim kept peeking her head in. I was like, I got it, sweetheart. I got it. Well, sure enough, finally, it was overwhelming. You know, he had to give me a hug as the thing came out. And yes, when I wiped them, there was blood. It was awful. But, you know, I won't talk about the thing itself, but it was a keeper. I'm telling you, it was a plugger.
Was it a bobber?
I would have been proud of this sucker.
It came out.
So, that's it. And that's all lead up. The moment is that when we got done, I stood him up. You know, and I put the blanket around the towel around him, and he said, "Thank you, Daddy. I feel better."
Oh,
there was a moment. I mean, if I had quit 5 minutes before that, I would have just felt awful for a week. But not only did the thing happen, he didn't hold a grudge. He said, "Thank you, Daddy." I knew. I kept telling him he was going to feel better, so that didn't come out of nowhere. I said, "You're going to feel better. You're going to feel better." So when he got done, "Thank you, Daddy. I feel better." I said, "Oh," I gave him a big hug, and I was like, "Sweet." Vindication.
That's an awesome moment, Mark.
It was a good moment.
I never knew you were a poop specialist.
I am.
It's on his resume.
It is. I have a degree in it, yeah.
He's a...
I do, actually.
He's a professional poop specialist.
I am.
The poop whisperer. Well,
the poop whisperer. We have joked that we've been... Yeah.
Cool.
Nice. We had to send in an extraction team.
Ah.
That's bad.
As an interesting topic, when Mary went to do to go to get her hair done and all that for her birthday as part of her present. I had Andrew in his bumbo seat, and we had a class one blowout. It was seriously. I got the onesie off to him, off of him. It was at the bottom of his neck.
No,
I'm not kidding.
Wow,
you know it's
Old Faithful.
It was.
That's serious. He's under a lot of internal pressure.
It was a task, and I was solo on it.
He knew. He totally knew what he was pulling.
I was like, "What are you doing to me, man?"
Get some serious daddy time. Check this out.
Mm. Oh, that's rough, man. I don't know.
All right, John, what do you got?
I'm gonna steal a quiet moment like Matt did, and I'm gonna say that Linda and I went out to dinner tonight. Went to a bar for dinner.
Holy smokes!
And had a couple of beverages. Just her and I, we were there a solid 2 hours, and they kept coming over and trying to get us some more things. We had a couple beverages, and we don't drink much, but at least not while we're out. But it was really nice.
And you went home and smoked a joint?
I was going to say they couldn't wait to get home and fire up the bong.
Yeah, no, it was really nice to have a nice, quiet time out, just the two of us. Because, you know, we're on the go all week long, and we have kids every weekend. It's a lot. We don't get a lot of quiet time. And of course, we have a mother-in-law here, so there's no quiet time at home. So, yeah, it was special. It was fun. It was nice. And it made my weekend.
John, that's wonderful. You have a wonderful wife, and you deserve that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Hey, Mark, I just got an email from the NRA.
What? They want you to pay?
No, they don't ever ask for money anymore. I think they have enough.
I don't know. They got enough. I gave to the, they have a political action arm, mm-hmm. and I gave, you know, $15 to them one time, and I got inundated with junk mail after that.
It doesn't pay to give them anything, yeah.
It doesn't. Of course, you know, I know that because Linda gives money to all these animal societies.
Oh, God.
Did you know that we have
a society for the production of more useless animals?
Yeah, well, I think they're just in business to pay themselves because it's just ridiculous.
Maybe you could offer to bring a bunch of these animals from place to place in your Cadillac.
That's right.
I offer to give them free lead injections.
Free lead injections. Oh. You could leave them in the back of the Cadillac overnight when it was like 5 degrees outside.
John, I have to tell you this other story. I hate to drag this out, but... we had our trash out, and the trash guys hadn't come yet. So I was sitting at the end of our driveway, and I'm working from home. I look out my window. There's two vultures picking apart our trash.
Wow.
And John, this was one of the moments I wish I had a .22 long rifle, because it would have been perfect.
You would have stepped out in your cul-de-sac and fired at these vultures.
Well, and also that I lived on... land like John did,
right?
But an air gun would have worked.
And this is where birdshot in a 20 gauge is just perfect.
Right.
A 22 long rifle would be way too much, too distant.
You have to actually aim.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. But you know the where the bullet traverses to if you miss is always my concern with something like a 22 long rifle.
Right.
But you fire a birdshot out of a 20-gauge shotgun, and you don't have to worry about how far those pellets are
going. Hey, Hoss and Little Joe, what do you say we end this episode?
Oh, okay. And then you know what they did? They shit on the top of my trash can. So I went to pick up all the trash and put it back in the can, and I shut the can. I got vulture shit all over my hands.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
Oh, wow. They were mocking you, buddy.
Oh, God. That's one of the reasons why I was thinking of how awesome it would have been.
Did they shit on your NRA card?
Yeah, right.
All right, guys. Let's wrap up.
Okay.
Well, I guess. All right.
That's it.
This is it. Okay, so this has been episode 42. Thanks for listening to us rant for an hour. Hope you enjoyed it. Please pop on to iTunes and give us a 5-star review or a 4-star review, or if you listen to Matt's part, you know, maybe 3.5.
And subscribe would be awesome. If you want to go to our website and click on the Amazon banner and then buy several thousands of dollars worth of stuff, that'd be great too. That'd be fine. But most of all, we're just thankful people listen. And have a great week.
Yes.
All right.
It's a good show.
Yeah, man. It was fun. Therapeutic.
Yes. I guess we'll finish the rest of the topics next week.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. We'll discuss.
All right. All right. Well.
We leave people on the edge of their seats.
Yes. Of course.
Were you prepared with a song, Matt?
No.
I hear lots of clicking.
Would you have? Do you have any political songs?
No, I don't. But there's got to be lots of gun control ones. How about Machine Gun by Jimi Hendrix?
Or what's the Lynyrd Skynyrd?
Oh, you should play Bob Dylan, Everybody Must Get Stoned.
Oh. That's a good one.
It's not named that, though.
It's named not.
Here's a posting from Edgewater, Maryland. These vultures are threatening the security of my home. A vulture came into my home and took several loaves of bread, packages of soup, and a basket of potatoes. The frightening thing is when it saw me, it came flying after me. I ran down the hallway into my bedroom and shut my door. I peeked out as it flew down the hallway, and then it went into my kitchen, took another loaf of bread, and went outside. That's when I followed it and closed the door to my back porch. The next day, the vulture came in again. These birds are very intimidating, and they are not afraid of us since they are used to eating dead bodies.
Wow. That's scary. What you got, Matt?
I'm getting stoned. I'm trying to find a better song. I'm working on it.
No, Matt, this is fine.
Okay.
I thought of several other comments. The one about whiskey for my men and beer for my horses is fine.
I could play Wanna Get High from Cypress Hill if you'd like.
Maybe Red Solo first. Red Solo Roach Clip.
So you playing StarCraft now, Mark?
No. I'm standing with my legs crossed waiting for this episode to be over so I can go to the restroom.
You could leave
and
now.
And if I was smoking a joint, I wouldn't have to do that.
The turkey vulture is protected under the Migratory Bird Act. It's illegal to kill this species in the United States.
You're kidding.
The turkey vulture, yeah.
Oh, I didn't ask what kind of vulture it was.
Well.
But if I lived on 10 acres and I had a gun, it would have been a dead bird.
Well.
And that was right after I dealt with some poopy diaper incident in the house, too. So furious when I came inside with vulture poop on my hands. You still holding it, Mark?
Apparently he's left us. I'm getting stoned.
All right. Well, I guess I'll talk to you guys this week.
Okay.
Good episode.
You too. We'll be in touch.
All right. Shutting her down.